The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live by email this evening, email her realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us this evening. As every week, I always say, my goal and vision for the show is to provide down-to-earth practical advice for garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And I'm really looking forward to a variety of things tonight that we're going to talk about. It's going to be kind of a two-part show. In the first part, we're going to talk to a friend of mine and a fellow co-worker, I guess, landscape contractor, Eddie Gonzalez with Green Scene Landscaping. Eddie and I have been working together for this past season, and we both participated, or I guess he really participated and I helped out, at the Fall Home Show this past weekend. And I thought it'd be a great topic to discuss, to get, you know, to reinforce the planning ahead and really having customers start thinking about next year. So I wanted to welcome Eddie to the show. Hi there, Eddie. You there? Nope. Did we lose him?
It doesn't show that we lose him. Eddie, are you there? We lost him. Eddie will have to call back.
Hopefully, Eddie will call right back.
Sorry about that.
That's
we don't
all
know
right.
What happened.
That's all right. Well, all right. We were going to talk. I was going to talk about a few different things tonight. One was, I like to talk about landscape design. Everybody knows that. And I thought, I was at the trade show on Saturday. It was the Fall Home Show in the Better Living Center downtown at the exhibition, or the Direct
nice.
Energy.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was pretty busy on Saturday. And I think that's such an impactful way. You know, you get emails throughout your season and calls throughout your season. But that was a huge impactful way to talk to people like face to face and kind of constantly about their yards and what they're looking for and what the, you know, bad experiences and good experiences they've had. So I think it was a really important, way to kind of talk about next year. And I was really impressed about how people were planning ahead. And Eddie certainly worked. It was a 4-day show and I was only there on Saturday, and he did Thursday, Friday and Sunday as well.
Nice.
So I was, wanted to chat with him about that and what he was getting from the customers.
Well, we will let you know when Eddie's back on.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah,
so
no problem.
We'll just wait for him to call back.
Yeah, that's no problem. So we will get to part one later and we're going to flip it. And the other thing I've noticed over this past weekend, since last week, Gary, we were still getting pretty nice warm temperatures.
Yes.
And since then, in a week, we've really gotten some cool temperatures and it's all of a sudden really feeling like fall. So I'm getting lots of questions from my friends and on Facebook about fall things in their gardens and what to do with their plants. So I've gotten some good ones that I wanted to share, and I'm sure if they are thinking about it, so are you. So one of the best questions so far, well, they're all good questions. And so I did want to talk about, last week I talked about a whole bunch of different things that you can do in the garden and different tips you can do in your garden this time of year. And one of the common things is I think it's a really great time to divide our plants this time of year. So any perennials, now is a really good time, the best time, I think, to divide them.
I think Eddie's back on the phone. We're going to try him.
Are we? Okay, so we'll come back to that question. Okay.
Eddie, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we're going to skip to back to Eddie, what we were talking about. Eddie, I was sharing about the home show and how, you know, throughout our seasons, we get, you know, random calls from customers and emails from customers, you know, asking us questions. But I found the home show so incredible in the sense that face to face, people were right in our face talking to us and asking us things. How did you feel about the show this past weekend?
This is my first time. This is my first time actually doing the fall home show.
Okay.
And I found it to be pretty good, actually. Clients were coming in, great questions, well informed of, you know, on the landscaping services that I provide. And, you know, everybody was, like you said, like face to face, they were more open in terms of asking the question, and they weren't holding back. They're like, okay, so how do you install this? How do you go about this? And they were asking, you know, very detailed questions on what we do and our process. So I found it to be very good, a very good show.
Yeah, I agree. And do you think it helped? Because not only are you at the show, but you're in a booth that you built, and it's kind of like a, not quite exactly how you would build it outside, but it's a, you know, you had a patio down, you had walls down, you had a fence, you know, a wooden screen. Do you find that the visual there, that people can touch it and stand on it and can really ask some really educated questions?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of their questions were material-based.
Mm.
As much as I was getting installation-based questions, I was definitely getting a lot of material-based questions asking, okay, is this good for a driveway? If it's not, what do you recommend for a driveway? In terms of the color, you know, how the color was a through and through color. So it's the whole stone has the color embedded into it as like in the concrete mix, as opposed to it being just like a little dye at the top, like a small layer of it.
Right,
so
right.
There's definitely, I had a lot of people touching the stones, actually, saying, you know, because I used a granite coping for my retaining walls, for like my seat walls, and, you know, a lot of people were touching that, you know, seeing how the stones look, everything like that. So they were, it's definitely an experience for them because they get to see and feel everything more hands-on.
Yeah, for sure. Instead of just a catalog or a website that we always refer them to, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's much better. And I really found, I mean, this, I talk about landscape design a lot on the show, and I really try to educate my listeners that there's a lead time, and they really need to start planning ahead. And I'm, you know, trying to get people to realize that if they call in February, their job's not going to be the job that gets started in April, right? There's always a lead time. And I found that the show, customers were really planning, like they were kind of doing the opposite. They were planning, they were there talking about their landscaping, and they haven't even gotten possession of their homes yet.
Yeah, that's, I've done, you know, a good amount of home shows in the past. And this show, you're absolutely right. You were there that day on Saturday where we got most of the questions where, you know, I'm getting my house in 30 days, or the house will be ready in January. Stuff like that. They're very planned. They're planning quite a bit ahead.
Right.
I think now, you know, the trend is they know that if you want something done in the spring, even in the summer, since there is a process to getting a quote, getting a consultation, first of all, getting a quote, design layouts, material choices, actually booking the job, putting on the deposit, that does take some time depending mm-hmm. on the scope of work. So I think customers are a little bit more aware in the sense that they come planning ahead.
Right.
And I had a lot of clients, this is a fall home show. Unfortunately, winter is coming soon. So, you know, the season is, I wouldn't say winding down just yet.
Yeah.
There is still a lot of work to be done, a lot of decent weather to be had. But we're definitely coming with the mindset of, okay, let's prep now. Or let's start prepping now for spring.
Yes.
Spring 2016.
Yeah, for sure. And I really noticed that too. So I'm glad that the education, because I think the whole industry has really been trying to educate people because we're so tired of disappointing them in the spring, right? They're well-meaning, genuine customers who want to spend money, but they want their job done in the spring and they just didn't know better by calling in the spring, you know? So I think the more we can get the word out and let people know that there is a lead time, and now is the perfect time to start planning. Now is the perfect time I can design right until either the snow falls or I can't feel my fingers anymore with my pencil when I'm outside.
So, no, absolutely.
You know, so it's a really good time. Normally, like, and I've really seen every year get better and better because I used to be at a point where after August, I barely get any calls for designs at all. And I'm slowly starting to see, you know, September and October filling up. So and I'm hoping after the show that you maybe filled up my November too. So we'll have to see, right?
I'm definitely trying to. Definitely trying to fill up both yours and mine.
Excellent. Why do you know? I know the reason you and I click so well is that you really, as a contractor, you really see the value of the landscape design and having a plan. And I think we've had some successful installs so far and happy customers because of it. But can you just share with our listeners, just from your point of view as a contractor who's driving, Bluetooth by the way, so I think if our listeners hear a little bit of fuzziness in the background, that's why Eddie's in traffic at the moment. But can you just tell our listeners why you think a landscape design is important?
I think the landscape design is essential, basically. Even with a mid-scale to a large-scale job, it's very essential because of layout. Homeowners, to some extent, know what they want,
mm-hmm.
or at least what they would like, but they have no sense of sizing. They have no sense of placing, of placement, of where it should fit within their yard.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that. And as a contractor, the last thing you want to do is not be on the same page as your client.
Right.
That definitely comes to the point where, you know, you're losing time, you're losing, you know, progression on the job, and it can lead to some headaches. And
mm-hmm.
Since I started using yourself as my designer, it's been nothing but, you know, clear installations,
mm-hmm.
basically, because the homeowner knows what they're getting. They're getting a scaled drawing. They know, like, what the material is going to be once we bring them samples or they go and look at it. And even for us, like, sometimes, you know, we see a job in May, we don't get to it till July. It's not going to be very clear in our heads what was going on.
Right.
But
yeah.
With the design, just refer back to the design. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what's expected, and us as the contractors know what we have to deliver.
Right.
There's no second guessing. That's the worst thing for any job, whether it be interior contracting, exterior contracting, anything, is unexpectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that you don't expect, that, you know, the homeowner's like, well, I thought this was going here,
mm-hmm.
or I thought this was going to be this side.
Yeah.
Now with the drawing, it's a foundation for the entire project, and it helps everybody be on the same page and just have a really smooth process of installation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I found, because I do the hand drawings and the computer drawings, but the benefit of the computer drawings is I can put, you know, the furniture and the barbecue and the different things, accessories in the drawing. And I ran into it a couple times this year with my hand drawings you know, once the job was started to be, when it was started, the customers realized, you know, let's say the base was down, the customer realized, oh, okay, the patio's not big enough. You know,
right.
And I remember thinking to myself, I really should have done a computer drawing for this. Even though it was a smaller job, having that table, having that barbecue, having them have a real good perspective on the space is just invaluable, because because that's another day and a half, right? To redig out more patio and redo, you know, go get more stone.
Absolutely. And when you get to that point where you have to start adding stuff, it, you know, homeowners might think it's simply, oh, we're already here, just kind of do this and kind of do that. Well, the major part of that is, one, it wasn't planned.
Right.
So it is going to add time to the job. So, and it will add cost to the job, as well as in terms of stone. We order our stone in advance to make sure everything's there for us. So if we're going to add an extra 50, even 100 square feet, that might have not have been ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, I've had cases in the past beforehand where this has happened, and then, you know, we go back and it's a specialty stone, and then we order we order the job material, and then they want to add a little bit more, and then there's time delays.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually adds even more of a delay on the actual progress of the job.
Right. Yeah, so it's good to have. So I really, when it comes to the computer generated drawings, you know, there's just nothing like it in the investment in those to really know what you're getting, what you're going to get installed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best. Like, to start with that, like I said, it's a great foundation to start a project on, and you know what the results are. You know what's expected.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very much so now for any kind of job. Even Bex, you know, when you did that one for me, even if it's in the homeowner's mind, a simple Bex, it's still better to get a drawing so that they can see what it's going to look like on scale.
Right.
In the property.
Yes, for sure. And that one was interesting because we had a wife wanting a deck a certain width and the husband wanting it a different width. And it wasn't until we, you know, put the furniture on and really gave them a whole perspective were they able to really realize the size of deck that they really needed. So even though it was a very
absolutely.
Simple, basic drawing, it certainly helped them a lot. So yeah. Now, as far as the customers that you talked to this past weekend and trends that are happening, like, did you see any patterns developing on what customers, prospective customers were looking for as well as?
Yeah, absolutely. I found, the display stone that we used this year was a new product for this year, but it's also a very modern kind of looking stone.
Yes.
Very clean lines, monochromatic colors, grays, whites. You know, some black accents, stuff like that. And the best part of all that stuff is every single client that came in there liked the stone.
Mm.
So the stone and the color schemes and all that stuff is what I believe to be the next trend.
Mm-hmm.
Is very modern designs.
Yeah, clean lines. Larger,
exactly.
Larger
clean
stones,
lines.
Yeah.
90 degree angles, you know, stuff like that.
It's
definitely becoming the trend in the industry right now. Even the manufacturers kind of realize that, and
absolutely
the products that they're rolling out now.
Yeah, for sure. We had Jason from Best Way Stone. I know you know Jason, in a few weeks ago, and he was saying the same thing, that homeowners are looking for, and contractors are looking for bigger, you know, bigger stone, more linear. Although he said the contractors don't like it too big because it's starting to get too heavy. So there's
right.
a fine line of giving the customers what they want and then the challenge of giving the contractors what they can actually capable of doing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest thing with that is even though they are bigger and they might be harder to install in a sense, at the end of the day, they do lay faster.
Mm.
So, you know, a stone that's 2.5 square feet itself is going to lay faster once you lay one stone down than a bunch of little stones that's going to add up to the same. So
right.
At the end of the day, it kind of works out.
Excellent. Well, I thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to add or you wanted to, you know, talk about as far as the show or anything else?
Yeah, in terms of the show, I think it's I would recommend the clients or prospective clients to try to visit the show.
Okay.
For several reasons. One would be, again, to get the hands-on feel of stone and of an installation. Like you said, it's not a full installation like it would be at their own home. But at the end of the day, they'll see what the product's going to look like
right.
once it's installed.
Right.
It might not have the polymeric sand, or you know, the walls might not be glued down or mortared down. But at the end of the day, they have a visual
mm-hmm.
right in front of their face on what it's going to look like. Because the thing with the catalogs is you can see the colors, you can kind of see what they'll look like, but you're not going to see it in real life and also in terms of textures. Right.
Right.
Like you can't feel textures on a catalog, but in person, you can definitely do it. So I recommend them to do that.
Okay.
And
when's
also,
the next show? Because you're gonna do another show in February.
Yeah, definitely. The one in February is the one I've always done.
Okay.
Because that one's always proven, you know, once we've been stuck in the winter mode for 4 months, everybody's eager.
Yes, to think spring.
For spring to start planning. They're like, well, I was hibernating for 4 months. I want to use my patio. I want to use my backyard. I want to gain, you know, a little bit more living space. So
right.
It's definitely, that show has always been a good show for us.
Okay.
But yeah, like I was saying,
so
I definitely recommend the clients to visit a home show for those reasons I mentioned. But
okay.
Also, it takes a reputable contractor to put the time and effort to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, monetary involvement on our behalf to be in the show. We also have to put in a time to be in the show. You know, we had 2 days to build it. We also had 4 days to exhibit. There were long hours. So for a client who's a little weary of, you know, some of the horror stories that's gone around.
Yeah, fly-by-night contractor stories. Yep.
Sorry?
The fly-by-night contractor stories.
Yes. Exactly. Like, it takes, you got to think about it. For us to, you know, promote ourselves in the industry to prospective clients, we're investing as well. We're investing our time. We're investing our money, you know, to showcase that we do good work, that we're honest contractors. And at the end of the day, they're going to get exactly what we discussed. It's going to be installed properly. It's going to be installed by a certified professional. And, you know, there's no hidden, there's nothing. We're not hiding anything.
It's right.
Basically, you know, we're very transparent in terms of how we install, what our pricing is, and everything like that.
Excellent. And your website?
Oh, my website is www.greenscene.ca.
Excellent. And you always post on there where you're going to be next, so that's good. So our listeners,
yep,
if they're eager to look at something in the spring, in February, then definitely. Or if you're interested in having a landscape design consultation or consultation with Eddie, then please, you can contact him that way as well, or through my website. Everybody knows it's downtoearth2.ca. And yeah, so thank you very much, Eddie.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And again, I think it's a great way that we can keep spreading the word that, so yeah, anybody's interested in the February home show, then you're kind of probably looking at like a July or August install. You're not going to be the first install, right? But definitely it's the trade shows are still a really good way to learn about landscaping and to come out and see the new products. So thank you for coming on and talking to us about it this evening.
No problem. I look forward to coming back.
Okay, good. Yes, because you do. We're going to talk about irrigation, so I'm hoping that, or not, lighting and irrigation we got coming up. So
okay.
The next few
awesome.
Few months. So we'll definitely have you back, and hopefully when you're not driving. So so thanks again for calling in, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks,
okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that little chat. And we're going to pause now for a commercial break. And we'll be right back to talk about some more fall plant questions. Thanks for listening to Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Mandy's Toys and Things is a wonderful place to find great toys, awesome jewelry, and unique porcelain figures. There is a wide selection of items for the entire family. Come in and see our plush toys and action figures section for great buys. fantastic volume deals, and cheap, cheap prices. We are conveniently located at the Curtis Flea Market, 1696 Bloor Street in Curtis, Ontario. Building 2 at the back of the building. Open Saturdays and Sundays all year round. Mention this ad and receive 5% off only at Mandy's Toys and Things. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to the one and only Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for listening this evening. Hope you enjoyed our first little half there. It's kind of been a two-part show with Eddie Gonzalez talking about landscape design, and it was always great. I know I'm always kind of talking up, but it helps, and I didn't pay him to say anything that he said, but it was great to hear it from a contractor and his perspective on getting a landscape design and planning ahead. So I just want to switch gears and go back to fall plant questions. And this is the time of year where, you know, people want to tidy up their garden and get it ready for winter.
That's me.
Yes, and not have to think about it much longer. Usually Thanksgiving, if we have good weather, it looks like the next couple of days are going to be pretty good, and hopefully the weekend Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving will be good. Mm-hmm. So last week I talked about a number of things, and I definitely mentioned that now is a good time to divide the perennials. And I think that, first of all, someone asked me, how do you know it's time to divide my perennials? So one thing is if it's too big for the space, if it's gotten too big for the space and it's kind of interrupting or leaning on other plants or kind of getting in the way or blocking out other plants, then yes, it's time to divide it or move it, depending. But often the best way to decide is if it is starting to be kind of like a donut or like a ring and the inside of the plant is dying out and it's kind of growing on the outside. You often see that with hostas. You definitely see that with irises, some daylilies, even ornamental grasses. You know, they might look lush and big and green and they're still growing tall and they're still doing really well. But if you look at the clump of, you know, if I think of ornamental grasses specifically, you look at them really closely, you'll notice that in the center they're dying out. And the green stalks coming up from the ground are kind of all around the perimeter. So that would mean it's a good time to kind of dig it up. With grasses, it's easier to cut them right down, even though I think you should leave them up in the fall. If they're fine, leave them up in the fall. But if you need to divide them, same with hostas, cut the leaves back and then dig out the clump and then divide with a nice sharp knife or a spade, sharp spade, and then cut that clump into three or four pieces. And then you can either plant the different pieces in different areas of your garden, or now's the time to give it away to a friend or two. But that's the best way. Sometimes another frequent question is which perennials, you know, are there better perennials to do in the fall than other perennials? And for the most part, I think all perennials can be done in the fall. But if you have something that's really blooming right now and really doing well, i.e. the ornamental grasses, and you really don't want to do it, then that could wait until the spring. Mostly spring, especially the spring bloomers, I would definitely only do in the fall. I wouldn't do in the spring. Things like irises, oriental poppies, dianthus or pinks. They're all things that are really going to put up a show in the spring. And they, if you divided them in the spring, they're not going to have time to kind of rebound in order to continue to put on that show. Hostas are pretty good depending on when they'll bounce back pretty good. So you can do them in the fall or you can do them in the early spring. I tend not to like dividing them once they've really leafed out, because once you divide them, then I find then they're leggy for the rest of the season. They're still going to live and they're still going to be okay. But if you're going to do it, then there's always a better time to do it. A shout out to anyone who might be moving and, let's say, putting their garden to bed and thinking, I'm moving over the winter or I'm moving in the spring. I'd really wish I could take some of my plants with me. So this is just a little side note and trick. Go to your nursery and local nursery and pick up some empty pots in their recycling. They've got that special recycling for pots. And divide your perennials now. Pot them up. You know, so put back the other plants. You know, the new homeowners won't even notice that you've taken divisions. So pot them up. Find a little space in the corner in the backyard and dig some holes and actually plant those pots. So, you know, you put the perennial division in a pot, filled that with soil, compacted that nicely, and then you can actually plant that pot into the ground and water it well until the frost. And they'll survive the winter. They'll survive the freeze and thaw. And then when it's time to move to your new home, you can just pull up those pots and take them with you. And that's kind of one of my little sneaky tricks. What do you think about that?
Cheating.
But, you get attached. You spend a lot of money on those plants. And especially if they're mature, the new homeowners aren't even going to notice. It's really not going to make an impact in the garden at all. So that is one of my good tips. So do we need to stop for another? I know our first segment ran a little long. Do we need a...
That's up to you. If you do not want to, we do not. If you do, we're ready.
Okay. I'll just finish talking about... So I think all I have about dividing perennials. So the summer perennials, I'll add the summer perennials, things like lamb's ear, bee balm, phlox. Those are all really good perennials to divide now as well. And daylilies is another one. So they tend to also kind of peter out and really not stop performing once they've... So they might not have that ring like I talked about, but they might not be as... if you remember 2 years ago, they really flowered all summer, and this past year they really didn't flower much. Then they're getting a little tired and probably a little root bound, and they need to be divided. So definitely spending some time going around your garden and dividing anything that needs to be divided and moved and watering that all in now is the absolute perfect time for that. So we can pause for another commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about, I've gotten the other popular question is people want to bring in their tropical plants from outside and they want to know how they can overwinter them. So stay tuned for that. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. And we will be right back. Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. At Mac Jack Graphics Printing and Web Design, we are your complete and comprehensive business image experts. From business cards to logo design, flyers to posters, and door hangers to letterheads, we offer complete and comprehensive printing for tickets, mailouts, stickers, and a whole lot more. We also offer various internet training protocols for Facebook, WordPress, and blogging. Please visit our website for a complete list of our professional business services at www.macjackgraphics.com. That's www.macjackgraphics.com or call us direct at 905-391-7753 or 905-448-6077. At Mac Jack Graphics Printing and Web Design, we can do it all for you at very reasonable prices. Call or write us today and make your business image dreams become a reality. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne by email, email her right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everyone. And yes, if you have a question, I'm covering a few of the fall gardening questions tonight. But if you have another one, or if you don't know if I'm going to cover yours, then it is a good time to email that question in here to realityradio101@yahoo.com. Or you can tweet us on Twitter. JoanneShaw_D2E is my Twitter handle, and I am following Twitter while I'm on the show here. I'm doing a little multitasking. So please, I'd love to answer your questions or anything that you're wondering about in your garden. So another question that has come up is, the practice of all summer, instead of using summer annuals in our containers, using summer tropicals. And mandevilla is a popular one. The hibiscus is a second popular one that are in people's containers or on their back decks, that type of thing. And it's really putting on a show. And people want to kind of continue that and don't want the frost to kill it and want to bring it in the house. So it's not as easy as it looks. It isn't as a matter of just bringing it in, but sometimes it's worth it just to extend your feeling of summer inside your house for a little bit longer. So I thought I'd give you a few pointers. We have had quite some cool temperatures, so if you haven't already brought your plants in, you should be at least bringing them in at night and then putting them back out during the day, getting them ready for bringing them into the house. So sometimes it takes a little bit of a transition time. If you've completely brought them in already, then that's fine. Keep them in the house. The biggest thing is you want to look for insects. So you can, if it's a smaller plot or not too big, what I find is put it in a clear garbage bag or just a garbage bag and tie it up so you can't, so it's all kind of closed off. And then you can spray, make a little bit of an opening and spray some insecticidal soap in all over the plant as best you can while it's kind of covered, so you're not spraying all over your house. You could see that it would have been better to do this outside. But if you're doing it inside, then I find the garbage bag method works to kind of, spray, keep the spray in the bag and keep the insects in the bag as well and try to get rid of them that way. So you can probably leave it, probably overnight. You can leave your plant in the bag, in the sealed bag overnight. And then in the morning, you can kind of look and see if you see any plants, but make sure any bugs, insects, giving the pot a good watering. Sometimes a lot of insects will kind of bury themselves in the soil. So giving it a really good watering to bring up any of those insects and get them to kind of overflow the soil and get rid of them that way. So those are two things, you know, especially to get rid of insects. And if there's any part of the plants that's looking a little diseased or it might be, you know, have some insects attached to it, you can try rubbing alcohol, you know, sometimes scale on some leaves as there's some the leaves that are attached or insects that are attached to the leaves. Then you can soak some cotton with some rubbing alcohol and try treating the leaves that way. So we want to just catch it before it really becomes a problem, especially if you already have other house plants. You don't want that one plant you're bringing in for the summer to then infect the rest of your plants that you've had inside for a long time. So that's a one thing to really consider. The other thing is to consider where you're going to put it. So you can't move it from outside into a sunny location into, you know, obviously a dark room. You need to be careful of being near a heat vent. It's still going to require some humidity. So a nice bright kitchen away from the drafty door and away from the heat vent is a good place to think about. And it's definitely a bit of a challenge. So if your plant, especially hibiscus, starts to yellow and lose its leaves, it's okay. It's just kind of, gone through a little bit of a stress. But just keep watering it as the pot dries out. Don't overwater it. And be patient, especially if it's in a sunny window with a little bit of humidity. And I know we've talked about that on the show before. You can put it on a tray of rocks and fill that tray with water to create some humidity in the room. Then I think you'll be impressed by how quickly the hibiscus can rebound and really start looking nice again. And you can also look, wouldn't start fertilizing it right away as soon as you brought it in the house, but probably by the end of November, you might consider, you know, water soluble fertilizer just to kind of, actually, I think I'm wrong there. I'm going to give you some wrong advice because I think it really needs to kind of rest and not really produce any new leaves. We don't want to really get it trying to grow too quickly. Not any fertilizer yet. So we want to get it to just acclimatize.
I know what it was. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're looking for.
I know exactly. Right out of my head. Used to being in the house. So we want to get it used to being in the house. So yes.
What's adapting to get inside
the
house?
Yeah, adapting. That's another word. I know we're both having a hard time. So definitely, you know, you've got to think about it. The plant is going to be resting. It's going to be the less light because it's shorter days from October until April. So there's no way, even if you can fertilize it like crazy, the plant's not going to respond well and it's not going to bloom like crazy all summer. So really, we're trying to kind of keep it at all winter. We're trying to keep it in a holding pattern so that you could possibly get two seasons out of it and use it again next year in the outside. But it can be a little challenging. So it's
acclimating.
Acclimating. That's the word. That's the word, Gary. Thank you. Did not come to me there. So if you want the challenge of trying, I wouldn't try it with a number of plants. It can be unless you're an expert at it. And then if you are, give me a call and I'll have you on the show. Something you want to try, try with one of your favorite plants and bring it in. And important to find out the name exactly of the plant. So whether if it's not a hibiscus or a mandevilla that I'm mentioning here, then Google, try to find the name. You can send me a picture and I can help ID it for you because every plant's going to have, specific little requirements. I think I'm going to try bringing in some of my sedum. I did a couple of really nice containers this past year with some sedums. And it's quite a mixture. And so it was a good investment, actually, because they were all like a number of, little plants that I put into a bigger container. And I'm going to try my hand at bringing them in. And so I'm kind of been doing some research there to make sure that they last through the winter inside and they're ready for spring next year. So Again, I want to recap that I do not fertilize over the winter. Do not fertilize the plant when you bring it in. Your plant is going to rest and kind of, you know, play it cool. And the goal is not to, you know, have it showy all winter. The goal is to keep it alive reasonably and ready for, you know, putting on a show, getting it ready in the spring and putting on a show for when you can take it back out into the garden or put it back outside next year.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I know we did a show last year in the off season about houseplants, and I'm hope to do another one as well to get more specific about different houseplants. And Gary's is still doing really well, considering it's in a very low light, only
it's
artificial
doing great,
light.
Actually.
It really is. It has grown quite a bit, actually, Gary.
It's great.
Considering there's no natural light and it's just in a low light area in the studio here, it's doing really well. So I love talking about that, about there's a houseplant for every scenario. And I really look forward to bringing you more information about that in November. Right now I know everybody's got those plants that they're like, I better get them in. And yes, you really do need to get them in. And consider the insects. Like I said, just give them a good spray with insecticidal soap. Water them well to, you know, get those insects kind of floating and kind of out of there, hopefully. And if there is anything attached to the leaves or stems that you see, again, rubbing alcohol is the best way to do it.
Very nice.
So, and the next question is, most everybody has, I hope they do anyway, hydrangeas in their garden. So we're going back to a garden question. My hydrangeas are doing really well and they're blooming very nicely. And I'm often asked about how you can cut them and bring them into the house. And you can.
And how can you cut them?
You can, and you can, and they dry naturally. So they, you know, they look very nice. So there's a couple ways I've tried it. The first way is, of course, cut them. Don't forget, cut them from the back of your plant so that you can still enjoy them from the front. So cut them at the back of your plant. You can leave the stems longer than your normal, like probably longer than a vase for now, and remove all the leaves. Tie the stems together with an elastic band, and actually you can take them to the basement or someplace cool, so not in the front window or anything like that, and actually just hang them upside down for a couple of days.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and they will slowly dry. So I've done it that way. The other way I've done it is also to cut the stems cleanly and to remove all the leaves, but cut them more the length of a vase, so a vase that you have at home. And you can certainly fill the vase with about an inch, maybe 2 inches of water only. So you're not filling it up like we would if we were trying to, you know, cut flowers. So we're only going to put an inch and a half to 2 inches of water in the vase and put the hydrangeas in that. And they will slowly, slowly drink up that water. And then when the water's gone, don't top it up. And you'll find that slowly the plant will go from, you know, kind of being alive to slowly on its own drying out. So you kind of gave it a little bit of a transition from being, you know, on the plant outside to inside with a little bit of moisture. And I've done it that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sometimes, it's trial and error for a lot of times. And there's no rhyme or reason why it works one time and it doesn't work another time. I know I've tried it and the plant just kind of collapses and just, you know, it just doesn't hold and it just goes off. So the nice thing about the hydrangea is there should be lots of blooms out there so you can give it a try. And you can, you know, do a lot of number of things. You can keep them in vases around the house. I've used them again for fall arrangements, you know, back outside again, nice and dried. So there's a number of things, but it's just nice to have a little bit of flowers, you know, from your outside that you've grown yourself to bringing them inside. I have had more luck with the panaculatum hydrangeas, so the limelight, PG hydrangeas, those ones. I haven't any luck with anything that's the macrophylla. I think those ones really have just too much moisture and really don't dry well inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
The Annabelle hydrangea I've also dried. I don't find they're as colorful. They just definitely go the browny copper color, where the limelights definitely stay more pink. So creamy to
pink.
As
long as they're not yellow.
That's right. So they offer a nice addition to any room in your house. So that's another popular question I get this time of year. There's nothing you have to do outside with your hydrangeas. Please do not cut them back. Please leave them and enjoy those blooms for the winter, for the fall and winter. And then we'll do some deadheading. We'll talk about that in the spring. So there we go. Our little eclectic show tonight. Gary, what do you think?
Eclectic and full of information.
Full of information. For sure. So once again, I wanted to thank our listeners for hanging in there with me tonight and listening. And I hope that the down-to-earth practical tips that I come up with every day that I hear about and that I share with you are ones that you're interested in. Please contact me anytime with any questions or comments at joanne@downtoearth.ca. My website is downtoearth.ca, and you've got all my social media handles there as well. So you can check me out there and let me know. And I look forward to being back with you again very soon. So thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.